Street.
Street.
And welcome to the Penny Mortos.
Hiya.
You all right?
How we doing?
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. And this week, we shall be going down under.
Again.
Where we have been before.
Strove.
Oh, geez, mate, when we went down to see Nick Kelly.
Yeah.
Nick Kelly, mate.
Get your dick out.
Your little dicky.
Get your little dick out.
Little dicky.
Strove.
Yes.
It's a whopper.
Well, we're back down under, but this time we're looking at...
Is that a second visit?
To a second.
I think so. And so we will be looking at the story of Catherine Mary Knight.
She sounds nice,
doesn't
she?
Or the Black Knight.
What was that, what they call her?
As she's also been referred
the
to.
The Black Knight.
The Black Knight.
But that's... So, she was at Camelot once, I think.
Well, I just think... I was
medieval.
Just thinking...
Jousting.
Jousting.
Oh, yeah, I remember
the
her.
The Black Knight.
Yeah.
She didn't need an helmet. She just used a perm. Lot of hairspray.
So Catherine Knight was the first woman to be... given a life sentence in Australia.
Well, a life term without parole.
Ah. And from reading, when I read the story, I was very shocked when I finally came to looking at photos of Catherine.
Yes, me
because
too.
From reading it, I was expecting like this big butch kind of like Hell's Angel kind of...
Like a...
Sons of that.
A heifer type.
Yeah. But she looks like a school teacher.
Yeah. She looks like...
I thought more of a dinner lady.
She's got more of a dinner bag than a...
No, you can't say dinner bag. Apologies to all our dinner bag listeners.
Deirdre. She looks like Deirdre.
Sat at Big Tabard with earphones in. She does look a bit like Deirdre.
Deirdre Rashid, incarcerated.
She's dead. So, let's start having a look at Catherine. Well, she was born in 1955, which
Ooh, 50s is girl.
Not that long ago.
No.
You've already pointed out Christopher.
Where was she born?
She was born in Aberdeen.
Eh?
Not that one.
Oh.
Not the oil-rich town in Scotland, but in Aberdeen.
Someone's telling me that...
It's confusing, this. Originally from the town of Aberdeen in New South Wales. It's fucking with my head. And we don't want to get back to maps. We've had enough maps.
Get that map out. I'm not having this.
But yeah, she's from there. And she...
One horse town, I believe. Well, not one horse, but small.
All right.
I think there were more than one horse.
Well, I
was a donkey?
It was a bit... I think it used to be affluent. Like they had,
it was a mine.
They had a mine, didn't they? And I think they had a big abattoir.
Yeah, so
but then it kind of
the two main industries. It was in the arse end of nowhere, if we're being fair. And she was born. Oh, interesting fact! I didn't realise she was a twin.
Was she?
Yeah.
I didn't know this either.
Two of the bastards.
Yeah. Jesus.
She was a younger twin. Great research going through
there. Was a twin called Barbara?
Barbara Knight?
No, her mum was called Barbara.
Oh.
Wait, I mean, it's a bit confusing because Mrs. Knight Senior is originally called Barbara Ruffin.
Ruffin.
She wasn't, all.
Right, Ruffin, that one.
And...
Ruffin by name, Ruffin by nature.
She was called Ruffin and she, well, her maiden name was Thornley. But then she was called Ruffin when she got married to Jack Ruffin.
Can we keep this simple?
But then she had an affair with Ken Knight. And then both Ken Knight and Jack Ruffin's family lived in the same place. So then it was all going off. And then
I bet it were. You've been shagging my wife.
And that's when they had to move. And then Jack Ruffin had four children and two of them came to live with Catherine Knight's mum, Barbara, and Ken
it's
Knight.
Oh, it's Russ and Curry, that
Ken
is.
Knight had some two children that he brought with him as well. So
you know
it's
going on?
Fucking mixed up.
Basically, I think Catherine Knight's a bit ambiguous about who her daddy is. And that's
no, we know who her daddy is. Her dad's called Ken
Knight.
It
doesn't sound like it.
No, they're just loads of children from all different places. Catherine's dad... Ken, he was a bit of a bad un, so he was And I
did he like a beer?
He did like it. I was really struggling to say the word alcoholic.
Do you know what? Throughout this story, there's going to be a lot of piss heads.
Oh, there's a lot of piss heads.
They love it down under.
When I was watching, I was watching the documentary on it, and basically, like every time there was a description given about them, they're going, "Oh, they're hardworking people who liked hard drinking as well."
Yeah.
Work hard, drink hard.
Piss heads.
Yeah, he was a bad un. He was a bad un. And
wrong un.
Well, a rough un.
He used to beat and rape.
Ooh.
Catherine's mother.
10 times a day, I heard.
Ten times a day. Bloody arm.
Ten times a day.
That is actually fact.
Times a day, apparently, he used to make unwanted advances for sex.
Yeah, but... He was a bad man, but then
libido through the roof. I think they say in Australia,
didn't it? Oh, he's got a big libido,
like a dingo with two dicks.
Are they not talking about a swimming pool? Did they not say a big lido?
I thought that's swimming related, but I thought it's not a woggle.
A woggle's what you put in your neckerchief in
Scouts.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, but Barbara, Catherine's mum, she would then tell the daughters the intimate details.
Oh, that's not what you
just,
want,
I find
it?
That bizarre as but a mother.
Like, they give me her eat good Roger in last night.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Bit of O's your mother. I can imagine it. Horrible.
But it wasn't really like that she liked it either.
O's your daughter, Scott.
She'd tell Catherine how much she hated men and she hated sex. And it was awful. And, you know...
It which is surprising, really, considering what we learn about Catherine later on, that she loves a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's a right horny...
didn't put her off.
She's a right horny goat, no, isn't she?
But I think it put some strange...
warped her mind
strange
in sexual
images,
references.
Yeah, in her brain about how sex should happen.
Oh, man. Can you imagine your mum telling you...
like the ins and outs, literally.
Like your dad gives us and
literally, ins and outs of a sex.
It's worse if you just hear like the bed knocking on the wall and you hear a young kid.
Makes me feel ill.
Oh, no, you're bringing back flashbacks now. Not good.
Did Knight not get like sexually abused by various family members as well?
Yeah, that was like talking to a professional sort of psychiatrist person then. So Knight also got... oh, we're using surnames now, aren't we?
So
we've
she?
Gone past first name terms, me and Catherine.
Very formal. Yes, she did. She was subject to sexual abuse.
But not by the dad?
No, by an uncle, I think.
Always got to watch them uncles.
They're always in the background.
It's always
lurking.
The uncle.
It is.
Lurking, yeah.
Absolutely.
Lurking. Come and sit on uncle's knee. Yeah.
And sort of that continued up until she was about 11 years old. But then I think by most accounts from people who knew her from school teachers and the like, she was quite a nice little girl considering the amount of...
considering what's going on her own.
Shit
quite
she had
pleasant.
To put up with, you know. But then...
use the P's and Q's.
When she started to go to school, it sort of turned out that she would she got a bit over upset when something went wrong. It was described by one teacher as being a murderous rage over the littlest thing.
I read she were a bit of a bully as well to like little kids. Like she used to overpower the smaller children. And
bog
like,
washing.
Like peanutting and all that.
Yeah.
Bloody peanut tie, bog washed.
By ankle shaking, didn't want to get in pockets.
Yeah. And she didn't do very well at school. She's a bit...
bit numb.
Illiterate.
Well, she just didn't really cope very well with the structure of lessons. You know, maybe she had some learning difficulties or whatever. Nothing that's ever been diagnosed or confirmed, but she left school ultimately without being able to read or write. And while at...
how old was she when she left school?
I think 15. She was 15.
Can't read or write me if that's not trying, that is.
That's just blatant.
That's not learning difficulties.
Insolent.
That's not bloody trying.
I know.
But anyway, she was okay because she left school at the age of 15.
Yeah.
And then she got a job working in a clothing factory, which was okay, it wasn't great. But then, a year later, yeah. she gets a dream job.
What's a dream job?
Oh, mate, what's the dream what's job the of dream a little job, Sheila? Mate?
She works in the fashion industry, or she works as... She weren't a model.
No, she worked on Babe Station. That hadn't been invented, had it? With topless darts.
Topless darts.
Topless barbecue.
No,
you don't want it spitting.
Her dream job was general labourer at the abattoir.
Cutting
Ooh.
Up. And a more specific job description that I read is cutting up offal.
Yeah.
She bloody loved it.
All leftovers.
Yeah, so, she loved that.
Coming back to dinner, ladies, you don't get the old pig swill bucket these days, do you?
No, you don't. The pig. The pigs are missing out.
Yeah.
It's like they don't put bone meal in dog food anymore, so you don't get white dog turds.
I thought it was fox shit.
No, you know, like, I used to have white dog turds on the side of the street because no one ever used to pick them up either.
My mum always used to tell me that fox poo.
Yeah.
No.
Another urban myth.
Bone meal. Bone meal.
You've ruined a childhood dream here.
No.
There's nothing.
A dream?
Yeah.
How many foxes? Just collect it.
No, I used to dream that foxes lived near me out.
How many foxes do you think live in London?
Just keep it in a box on the bed.
Bloody
gutted. Massive fucking bat. Bloody hell, big foxes round here. Neighbour's got a great day.
Mum thought it were an urn when she opened it.
All ashes. Crispy bits of
puffing
shit
off.
Everywhere. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Oh, did I tell you I went through some dog shit with lawnmower? Like dried up dog shit.
Oh, I bet that were all.
You don't have a dog.
I know. But obviously a dog had been on and done a shit, but it had been there for a while and it had dried up and I didn't see. I just saw it as lawnmower went up and all the dust went and I breathed it all in. Oh, bloody line of dog shit straight up snout. Oh,
I bet
or
you,
off
I can taste it.
Or
oh, it was horrible.
Oh God, I bet you've got clogged lungs with shit.
I know, yeah, you'd go blind.
So anyway, yeah, she started
all that dog shit and wanking.
I know, yeah.
She started off as a general labourer and then she got promotion.
Oh.
So like, our old says as,
chopper.
Dealing with the offal and
promoted to boning.
And then she got promoted to boner. Which basically was the top job of dealing
with... Top job?
Well, not like CEO of the abattoir, but within, like, you know, the general workforce.
Yeah.
Like, that's she's like a very rock. skilled job, you know, because you've got to take the...
So she's learning the trade.
Various cups of meat off and all that business. You know.
So she's good with a knife.
Mm.
She loves a knife.
That's not a knife. It was only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time.
That's not a knife. That's a knife. She loved her knives. She has been described by many people as being a knife fanatic.
Really?
Very good.
And when she got her own set of butcher's knives from the abattoir, she used to bring them home and hang them above the bed.
Above
the bed head.
That's an health and safety risk, surely.
Well, it is if they fall off and stab you in the head. No, but that's where she kept
them. How did she hang them up? Like on a magnet?
On a couple of nails or something?
On a magnet? Or...
No, they like coming a cloth roll.
On a couple of nails? You can't hang knives above the bed with a couple of nails.
They come in a cloth roll and then you roll it out and then...
Imagine if she took someone back for a bit of slap and tickle.
A bit of sexy time.
Bloody hell, love.
Bloody hell, I'm not coming in here.
I know, yeah, I just got...
I like it rough, but we should take it bloody piss.
Come on, let's do it in the front room.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you reckon she was good at knife throwing?
No. That would be disrespectful to her.
Ah, yeah, blunt and money.
So she kept her knives above her bed, and she kept them above the bed her entire life until she finally got locked up.
What, she'd always have her knives above the bed? That's
always,
weird.
Even when she was...
That is weird. I mean, we've talked about a lot of killers and, you know, general bad eggs, but, I don't know, keeping your knives above your bed. Just, and... Just being a woman as well, it just doesn't sit right with me, though.
It's like a safety thing, innit? I bet she thinks...
Yeah, I know, but you know,
no,
some people keep a
me.
Bloody cricket bat under bed, but a stack of knives.
She was quoted as saying they would always be handy if she needed them.
She needed a what?
Cutting up apple at bedtime.
A burglar. Or something.
A burglar? They'd come at him like bloody...
Anyway.
Scissor hands.
Let's move on from this madness. So, in 1973, then she would be 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. So she'd made her way through the abattoir... business quite swiftly.
Well, 2 years she's gone from general
awful
scummer to boner.
Fucking big boner.
Yeah. And it's in 1973 where she meets her first husband to be. A boyfriend by the name of David Kelly.
Oh, I've got a boyfriend.
David is described as a hard drinker.
Perfect choice.
Or dynamite. Let's go and get a couple of stubbies.
What are they called? People who are a bit soft in soft dick.
Soft cock.
Soft cock, yeah. That's it.
Oh, so, mate, there's no...
She's not the kind of woman that'd have a soft cock, though, is she?
There is no soft cocks in this fucking town, let me tell you. They are all hard as fuck.
I think for anybody who missed the Ned Kelly episode, Paul revealed that, like, softy pants in Australia are known as soft cocks.
Soft cocks, that's from the horse's... Not the horse, from my friend's mouth.
Who's an horse?
Who's an horse? Oh, soft yeah. cock. And, they had a great time, Catherine and young David. He was a co-worker, also worked...
Was he?
...at the abattoir.
Imagine the nights in, sharpening knives.
I know, romantic dinner over some awful.
Romantic dinner, they didn't eat it. They cut it.
Oh.
And, you know, like, it was a rough and tumble town, so if there was any sort of fisticuffs going on in the local pub, Catherine would always back up her man. You know, she'd be there throwing punches.
This is the thing that I got. She's like hard as nails. She's not to be crossed, is she?
No, like, and the pictures are so deceiving because she looks so meek and like, what's the word, reserved.
Yeah, but
and
you know,
in real life, it's like she's hard as fuck.
Yeah. I reckon she'd be a smash the bottle, fucking in and twist.
Well, she always she was known amongst the locals for offering knife fights to anyone. To upset her.
If
she was like, bring it on.
Do you want a knife fight?
Oh, shit, mate. That Sheila's just offered me
that
a knife
Sheila,
fight.
Sheila fucking five knives. Have you heard? She got fucking knives about the bed, mate. Fuck off. Telling you, mate. She's fucking mental. I bet she had one of them little ankle knifey.
Like a little band
right
around
down
her. She'd get it out.
Like a boot knife.
Yeah. I bet she had one of them keyrings with pen knife on. Not pen knife, flippy knives as well.
Flimcorn.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because love blossomed between the two.
Mm. Very good.
And a year later, they were getting married.
Very nice.
Now, how do you think they arrived for the marriage service?
In a horse and drawn cart.
A beautiful car.
Cinderella.
They arrived on a motorbike, pissed.
Hey! Get in! Chucking knives.
And the legend says...
What was first dance?
I don't know. Playing
like
with knives by Bazaar Inc.
Jack the Knife.
Mack the Knife.
Mack the Knife.
Jack the Knife.
Jack the Knife. Anyway.
First cut is the deepest.
Very good.
It was for poor bastard she married last.
I can't think of any others. So they arrived on a motorbike, and as they were getting off the bike, Catherine's mum went over to David and gave him some advice.
Don't fucking do it.
And I quote, "You better watch this one or she'll fucking kill you. Stir her up the wrong way or do the wrong thing and you're fucked. Don't ever think of playing on her or she'll fucking kill you."
I feel like it's
wrong. End quote.
It sounds like an M&M
lyric. Should I call your mum or... So he went through with it then.
Yeah. So the service is completed, and then they have like
stagger down aisle.
A good knees up afterwards, you know, a good party. And then sort of they go back to the bedroom. Now it's time for some rumpy pumpy. Now Catherine has got big expectations because
for the big night.
Yeah, Catherine's mum has told her that on her wedding night, her dad did it 10 times.
Bollocks!
10 times.
What a load of old shite.
You can't spuff ten times in a row.
No, there's no way.
Well, poor David, he wasn't up to the job. He only managed 3, and then he fell asleep. You know, he's full of ale and all that. I mean, he's done well getting 3.
Right, getting 3? Yeah. I'd have no fucking chance.
But she wasn't very happy.
She'd have knives out.
She tried to strangle him because he'd let her down. In her eyes, he was he wasn't up to the job. Could only manage 3 times, and that
was it. A trier.
So it started off badly, and it went from bad to worse because once this sort of
out the honeymoon period
had wore off, and it wore off pretty quickly because up to getting married, like I said before, it was a sort of good relationship. They got on very well, bounced off each other. There was no real problems. Now, after marriage and after the strangulation, it sort of spiralled downwards into violence.
After the word from the mother-in-law and then getting strangled on the bloody wedding night, I imagine the doubt started to set in.
So it went from bad to worse. And then, you know, one night, David, he's out, you know, he's on the darts team, loved to play darts, as you can imagine.
Topless.
You know, like a tough Australian drinker down the pub playing some darts. And he was in a darts competition, made the final. And
fucking hell, big day, big night.
He said to Catherine, "I'll be home at 10, love." And anyway, it's like, gets to 10:05.
She's not happy.
Not happy. Where the fuck is he? Gets to 10:10. Fucking hell. She is seriously unhappy.
Fizzing.
So, she thinks, right, that's it. He's fucking...
What, 10:10?
He's pissed me off.
Give the lad a bit of leg room.
So, she's heavily pregnant at this time. She gathers up all his clothes, all his shoes, sets them on fire. And then she waits for him to come back from the pub. And then when he gets back from the pub, she twats him round the back of the head with a frying pan.
I wonder if she has that on go over her bed as well, like a full cutlery set. Bringing the kitchen to the bedroom.
No, we laugh at this situation.
They got to the final, give the lad a bit of slack.
David sort of thought, oh, fucking hell, I'm just going, I'll go and sleep
I'm
at my mate's house.
Bloody induction up right back of his head.
And he goes to his friend's house, sort of has a sleep, wakes up in the morning. Oh, fucking pounding headache.
Gail, how much did I drink last night?
His mate takes him to hospital. He's only got a severely fractured skull.
Fucking
hell. Because she proper give it to
like
him.
A really good belt.
Yeah.
Oof.
I bet she, you know, she's good with it. She has good standard knives. I bet she's got good crockery as well.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a real proper cast iron, solid bottom pan.
Be none of this supermarket shit.
None of this Teflon crap.
Handle coming off when she twats anybody.
Yeah, so she's fucking giving him a frying pan. Anyway, the police got involved and they wanted to press charges, but Catherine, she sort of got into her husband's ribs a bit and was on her best behaviour. She's like,
I'm sorry.
I just got all jealous. I just saw red.
I didn't know
where you were. I thought you might have been having it away with someone. I'm really sorry.
It's only because I love you.
And she talked him into dropping the charges. Foolish.
Well, foolish.
Jesus Christ, what's he playing at?
So anyway, the following May, so that was into 1976 now, after, you know, still sort of... ups and downs and a very unhappy time. He
marriage on the rocks, is it?
Yeah. Well, he fucks off.
Fair play to it, lad.
He moves away because he can't cope with this behaviour anymore. And you know, she's very violent, and he thinks, look, the only way I can get out of this is just by just by getting well away from it. He said, though. This really upsets Catherine, and the next day, she's out of with a baby, and like people see her, and she's like
wobbling
got the pram, and she's wobbling it around like all like in a bit of a violent rage. Poor baby's been rattled about all over the shop.
Bobbing all over the shop.
And she's sort of taken in by some of her family, I think, to hospital.
Come on, Kathleen, calm yourself. Calm yourself.
Put another shrimp on the Barbie, love.
That's how they convalesce, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
lots
how
of barbecuing.
Have a stubby. Have a stubby.
And bless her, she's diagnosed with postnatal depression, and she's taken into St. Elmo's Hospital.
Probably for the best. Was Elmo in Sesame Street?
Yeah, the little blue one.
And he's the patron of this hospital as well.
he's there for all charity dues, so sick after, kids.
after a few weeks, she's released. And it's a good job they released her because she was all better.
Was she?
Yeah, she was so much better.
Medded her up.
That she
medded her up. That was
got a baby and took it up and put it on train lines.
What?
Yeah.
She did what?
I shit you not. She got a baby and put it on the train line so the trains would run over it.
But right, so wait a minute. She's gone into hospital for postnatal depression. Is it a baby? Like a newborn baby.
Is it a baby? So you're like, you get admitted for postnatal depression after you've had a baby, Christopher.
Yeah, yeah, but so then she puts the baby
so it is a baby.
No, it's a little dog.
It's not a puppy, it's a dog. So then she's has a rest, then she comes out of hospital, then she puts the baby on the train track.
So she was queuing then?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Quite clearly, yeah, she's all right now. She's fine now.
Then, after putting the baby on the train track...
Evil bitch! How did she not go to prison after this?
She steals an axe and then goes into town and starts threatening to kill people.
Definitely cured. Definitely cured.
She's sound as a pound. Absolutely.
Thankfully, a local man known as Old Ted...
Old Ted!
Oh, geez, mate, I'm just out in the bush, doing a bit of bush tucker, a bit of foraging. Fuck me! I found a baby! Old Ted
deboned
finds
it.
The baby.
Deboned it, cooked it.
Old Ted's not a deboner. Old Ted is a lover, not a fighter.
So wait. So the baby's on the tracks. She leaves it. Then she gets an axe, and then she goes mental in the town. Old Ted's scourging around for what, bugs or whatever.
What bit of this do you not comprehend?
I don't know. It's all a bit...
It's a bit much. So the police are called, as you can imagine.
Well, yeah, I should hope so.
And she's arrested and then taken back to St. Elmo's Hospital for some care.
Fucking... failed.
Old Ted rescues the baby. The baby's taken into care to be looked after. She's in the hospital, but then, instead of having a nice long rest, she checks herself out the day after, because she's obviously feeling much better.
Again?
Much better after one day.
But surely you shouldn't be able to check yourself out after trying to go in all choppy-choppy in town with an axe. A stolen axe.
A stolen axe.
That's the... Crime.
I tend to agree with you. Christopher.
I mean, surely she should at least be put in a cell for theft, if nothing else.
Well, no, but what she should be done is she should be sectioned under the Mental Health Act to keep herself and the general public safe.
Well.
But she's not. So she checks herself out of the hospital, and then a few days later, she's hatches a plan. I've got to go and track David down. He's fucked off to Queensland. I'm not happy about this. So what do you do if you want to track down your husband? Yeah.
Get a tracker.
You take a woman
hostage. Old Ted. She don't get Old Ted to track
him. No, she doesn't get Old Ted to
conveniently foraging around David's house.
She takes a woman motorist hostage, slashes her face, and demands that she drives her to Queensland.
Oh my God.
Fuck me.
She'll just come out of prison. She's giving Chelsea smiles out like no tomorrow.
Well, yeah. She really was. And... they drive off towards Queensland, but then they run out of petrol, thankfully. This woman who's driving thinking, thank fuck, we've run out of petrol.
Yeah.
So we'll have to stop at this petrol station.
Gas station.
So as they pull over, the woman does a bunk and fucking runs off. Like, raises the alarm. Yeah. Mad woman.
Her a while because it slashes the Chelsea smell. They all thought she was having a right good time.
Sorry, love, we can't understand you. Shops flapping about all over the place. Anyway, she does manage to raise the alarm, by which time Catherine's took a young boy hostage.
Hell, she doesn't waste any time, does she?
And she sort of got this guy at knife point, threatening to kill him.
So it turned from a boy to a guy.
I know.
Well, whatever. It's a person, a young male. A
the shock of the knife brought on puberty. His balls dropped.
And now he's a man.
He's a dude.
Guy. So hey, guys.
The police
arrive. Hey, guys.
So fuck off. The police arrive, and I love this bit.
What? Catherine, stop. Put the knife down. Leave the guy alone.
He's good, actually. Oh, God.
There's the police arrive at this hostage situation, and they use all of the skills and tactics that you need in a hostage situation in the outback of Australia. They attack her with brushes.
Brooms?
Brooms,
surrender,
yeah.
Surrender with wooden brooms.
Bloody <isn't> spider.
They managed
to... Wait a minute, I think... just imagine him, about eight of them, like, slowly moving in with brush end of a broom.
Oh, Ted was on hand with all of his equipment.
I don't know.
Back, Ted.
I don't know if one may have snuck round the back with a broom and took her from behind. By surprise.
Just edging her into a corner.
Because she's got a young boy hostage at this point, by knife point, at that point.
Yeah.
And but anyway, they managed to get the knife away and subdue her with a broom.
I hope she went to prison after this and it weren't just brushed under the carpet.
Well, it's at this point where she is admitted to a proper psychiatric hospital.
Hey, well done, Australia. Well done.
Now, word gets out to David of what's been going on, and he feels, you know, a lot of sympathy and sadness because she's still his wife, and he moves back to...
Can you imagine when he heard that tale?
I know, like...
You're not going to believe what's happened to Catherine.
Well, yeah, your ex the other week. Jesus Christ.
Why? What happened?
Well, anyway, he moves back. We don't need to hear it again. We know what he's bothered. So, yeah, after she's been in the hospital for quite a while and things have all
settled.
So
they keep her for a bit this time.
Yeah, and they get her all better. And she comes into the care of her husband and her mother-in-law, and they move to somewhere near Brisbane.
Woodridge.
And
sounds nice.
Just as luck would have it, there's an abattoir there, so she can get back into her dream job.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want to be doing with this
knife wielding.
This knife wielding maniac. Yeah. Chuck her back in abattoir.
Yeah, well, she's back and she's loving it. Now
back on offal.
Yeah, things settle down. They have another daughter, but. It's around about this time now, I think, you know, time's moved on a bit, where Catherine decides she's had enough of David, and she leaves him and moves back in with her parents. And they say one of the strong character traits of Catherine's illness is that she cannot stand rejection, but she's quite happy
to give it out
to get rid of people when she feels they've run their course.
Just off the cuff.
Yeah. So, really, David gets off quite lightly.
So he just does one. Oh, no, she tells it piss off.
She fires him off. She moves back into Aberdeen. She returns to work in the abattoir that's in that town.
Abattoir!
But then she has a bit of an injury at work. And she does quite well out of it. She does a back in, and she's unable to bone the animals. So she gets a disability pension and a free house.
Way!
So she's doing all right.
That's what she could have done.
Yeah. Well done, yeah.
What's she done to a back in?
She's probably... Oh, you've seen Rocky, haven't you, where he's humping
them
big sides of beef
yeah.
about. Must have been one of them.
On shoulder.
On shoulder.
Straight up slab. Me back. Oh, you busted me back. I don't know if that's what happened. I'm just taking a stab in the dark.
Now, after a relationship, marriage, I should say, with David finishes. She has a couple of relationships with various fellas. One with a guy called David Saunders. It doesn't go well, shall we say. Her old traits sort of start to come out after a little while. You know, it's all good fun, hard drinking, going out to the pub and having a...
All the beers, mate.
The beers are flowing. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, but then the relationship would get a bit violent and she'd throw him out and then he'd beg him to come back and she'd throw him out and beg him to come back. But then it's in May of 1987 where she crosses a line, I think, because she threw him out and then she begged him to come back. And as he comes back, David has got a lovely little puppy.
Aww.
All fluffy and cute.
Oh, that's
nice. 8 weeks old.
A little dingo.
A little dingo?
A dingo.
Yeah.
A dingo's not a little...
Not a wild, ravaging dingo, like a...
Not one of old Tom's dingoes. This is a
homely dingo.
A house dingo with good manners.
And everything's cute when it's little, isn't it?
And grateful for a boy.
Babies are cute, puppies are cute, kittens are cute, all little things are cute. Miniature... Tomato ketchups are cute. Anything that's in miniature is cute.
Cherry tomatoes are cute.
Yeah, we love them. Sweet little tiny sweet corns.
Little grapes. Raisins. What a load of shit.
Hemorrhoids.
Anyway.
Oh yeah, they're dead cute.
Mine are like a bag of onions. Never mind grapes. So anyway, she calls David back. He comes, come on, I'm really sorry, but if you ever split up with me again, this is what will happen to you. And she picks the dingo pup up and slits its throat in front of him.
Nasty.
She holds
bitch.
It in front of his face and just lets it bleed out.
Horrible bitch.
What? Cow.
You know,
I quite liked her up until this point.
Oh yeah, sure.
She was a very warming character, Chris.
I think it's funny, isn't it? You know, like when we do these podcasts, and like some serial killers, you kind of, you don't warm to them, but you sort of, you feel sympathy towards them.
Yeah, they've had the tough,
you know,
upbringings.
They've had like really bad upbringings, and you know, there's always that nature nurture debate.
Not feeling that with our Catherine, I'll be honest with you.
And neither was he after she twatted him on the back of the head with a frying pan as well.
Boom, boom!
Not only did she murder his dog,
and the frying pan's back in frame.
She knocked him clean out with a frying pan.
I can just imagine her like rushing into a bedroom, like knife on wall, frying pan on wall, like one in each hand.
Like killer chef.
Like ninja woman.
But she's a weapon of choice. In 69.
I can imagine her on that QVC.
Non-stick.
That QVC channel selling pans and knives.
Well, you want a non-stick, because, you know, once you've...
You get a real good thrust with this one. Sharp as out. You can keep this one sharp. One sharp will keep sharp for years. Cutting through bone, face.
Dick. And the frying pan. It's great for knocking people out when they piss you off.
Non-stick, easy wash. Feel weight on that. Feel weight on that. I'm knocking for fucking sticks.
So after that, they Catherine's pregnant again, and she gives
fucking hell.
Fucking hell.
Did he have
not immediately?
She's fucking cut his dog's head off. She's clobbering him over the head with a frying pan, and he's still sticking his dick in it.
I'm sure they must have made up after that.
Oh yeah, sorry about cutting your dog. Dog's head off and, you know, twatting you with frying pan. Or just having a bad day, you know what it's like.
I was just moving along.
Do you know what? There's something to be said here about... Because, I mean, you hear about women treating men badly or whatever, but I tell you what, she's giving them some shit here and they're still coming back for more.
Oh, yeah. Treat them mean, treat them mean.
I reckon she were like, yeah.
Treat them mean, keep them clean.
I reckon she sucked him dry.
I reckon, yeah. She's like wild in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah. Well, she must be, yeah.
Are the kids on this, like, I know one got taken away. So are the other two on the scene, the other one on the scene?
No, I think they're in and out of care, you know, depending on...
What's wrong with these people?
On a mental health...
Issues.
But, yeah, she gets pregnant And then she gets some money come through, you know, from when she's done her backing.
She's not got another compo.
She gets a lump sum.
Bit of compo.
She gets a lump sum in, which she's delighted with because she can decorate the house.
What is wrong with this system?
Well, it's they call our bloody state nanny state. Fucking hell, I'm looking your own backyard, Australia.
She's like, she's knocking people out left, right, and centre. Bloody stabby, stabby. They let her out of bloody prisons and curb facilities.
No one press charges
after a week, and now they're bloody giving handouts like there's no tomorrow.
This is from the abattoir. They injured her. She deserved it.
The only conclusion we can draw from this is they're just always pissed. They must be.
They're all pissed in Australia. That is a very good point.
They're just pissed and they don't let people do what they want.
In an aside, it's been reported like the origins of the Australian accent came because.
They were always
drunk, and that's where the Australian accent comes from.
I fucking told you, you fuck.
But anyway,
I fucking love you, mate. Fucking love it.
Catherine is delighted to decorate her new house, and what does she go for? Does she go for magnolia?
Wood chip.
Lighten her, you know, let the light in. No. She covers her walls with animal skins, horns, skulls, rusty animal traps, old boots, machetes,
rusty
rakes and pitchforks.
Sounds like a trendy burger bar in city centre.
No space was left uncovered. She even had loads and loads of stuffed animals, you know, in glass boxes, like rabbits and owls and birds of prey and all that.
Does it sound like a trendy burger bar?
Yeah, it does, like...
So she's decorated her house, but she's still not that happy. Because David comes back from the pub one afternoon, and she's not happy. He's a bit late, you know, he's not reported in on time.
Oh, here we go. Jockstrap's up in smoke.
She hears him coming through the door. She's just doing a bit of ironing. Unplugs the iron. Fucking twats him across the face and stabs him in the stomach with a pair of scissors. Him? Yeah.
She's got such a terrible temper, hasn't she?
Murderous
rage is being justified here.
David, as you can imagine, he's not very happy with this incident.
This is...
I'm not surprised.
I wish she's moved on from...
He doesn't press charges.
Utensils.
Oh, yeah.
But he moves away... He moves back to his hometown, I think, which is called Scone, or Scone, if you're from the north.
Scone.
Jammy bastard.
What is it? Oh, yeah.
Come on, Oreo. David goes back to pick up his clothes, finds that...
she's burned them all.
No, not this time. She's not burned them. She's cut them up.
Oh, goodness. She's put them... Since scissors were in her hand.
She's cut them through threads and all into tiny pieces. So he fucks off and goes into hiding.
But he did. I hope he weren't just in wardrobe.
Gone foraging without Tom.
No, he goes into hiding.
Has he gone into the bush?
He's gone bush. He's gone walkabout.
Ever regiony style.
And several months later, he thinks, well, I don't know, I want to come and see my baby girl. So he comes back, and when
baby
he gets
girl.
No, he doesn't mean his. He means his. You know.
That's exactly what I thought.
Hey, baby girl.
No, not his wife.
I got a fry up coming.
The real baby.
Why don't you come round? I cook you something good.
Oh,
I cut your hair, baby girl.
You're making my skin crawl. It's baby child. A child.
Baby girl.
But he can't get.
I just want to feel your hair, baby girl. I just want to trim it.
Stab you in the fucking chest! He can't get in to see his daughter because Catherine, in a Looney Tunes way, has been to the police and said that he was a wife beater, and she's got an injunction out against him, so he can't go anywhere near her or the kid.
That's just hilarious how he's got that.
Tight, isn't it?
And she's never had anything against her, but... Poor bastard, she abused him once. I thought to like look at a criminal history and thought, oh, nutter.
Evidently not.
Well, anyway, after the relationship with David Saunders breaks down, she
Well, does he do a runner now?
Yeah, he basically he just goes off the scene and
fucks it. Balls to that.
She shacks up with a guy called John Chillingworth. Now, there's not a lot of information on John. Seems that he used to work at the abattoir with her.
She likes these bloody Cleaver lads, doesn't she?
Well, I think it's...
I think they're all, like we said, they're all bloody good drinkers and good work. Like, I get the impression they're more drinking partners than
the natural, like, well, I don't know.
Go to work, go up pub, get pissed, shag me brains out.
Well, you think so, but he gets her up the duff. This is a fourth child.
That's what I mean,
oh, child.
Shag me brains out. Yeah. No, Johnny's ball. Fuck that.
Never mind, put a sock on it.
Carry a bag of elastic band.
Or up my bum. Sorry.
So there's no real...
I love how they sound like gruff northern people now.
Put it up the arse.
There's no real detail on John, other than he gets her up the duff, and then...
How many is this? Four?
Four. Catherine starts having an affair behind John's back, and who's she having an affair with? John Price.
Oh.
Now, this is where they think it's been bad.
Hey, Johnny Price. Do you know who... I looked at some pictures of John Price. Do you know who he reminded me of?
Joe Mangle.
No, he does look a bit like Joe Mangle, though. Lovejoy.
Oh, Ian McShane.
Yeah, Ian McShane.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. With the, you know, like the mullet effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's got like that kind
that
of...
That jawline.
Olive skin.
Now, John was reputedly a terrific bloke. Everyone liked him. And he was a good drinker.
All right. There's a surprise. All round good egg.
Yeah. John was well aware of Catherine's violent past. But
well, imagine word'd be round town. The cracking in kitchen.
He was getting on very well with her, and you know, we thought, well, you know, you don't know what's hearsay, what's rumours, you don't know what people have added a bit onto, you know, blown things out of proportion and all that. So they're getting on and it's all going very well. You know, she moves in with him. She keeps her own house with all, like, the dead pigeons and that hanging on the walls. But she moves in with John and they share what would to be, you know, share his house. And it's a nice little setup.
When you went in her house, though, you'd be thinking, can you imagine that first time you went round?
You'd recoil.
Without traps on wall and bloody knives above bed.
I know. It'd be like old Tom lives there.
Maybe he does.
Under bed. Yeah. Pitchforks on the roof.
So it's all going well, and you know, and for a long time, it's like you see this trait with Catherine is when she first gets with a fella, she's like a model.
Yeah.
Woman, you know,
she gets a bit bored.
Food on the table, shags them to death, goes out drinking with them, you know, a real life.
I wonder what she drank. What do you reckon? She wouldn't have been a Cardi Breezy girl, would she?
Beer.
He's a beer.
Ale.
Stiffy.
They could have beer or beer.
Give me a beer, you stiffy. It's a new one on me.
So in 1998, this is about 8 years. About 8 years that they've been together, more or less, since she first started having an affair with him. Catherine's getting a bit pissed off because she wants to get married to John. You know, she likes him. But John's...
He's not having it.
Fuck Dad Sheila, don't want to get married. Good accent, that, ain't it?
Yeah.
Good accent, that. Oh, fuck mate. Well, Catherine doesn't take very kindly.
Well, some men don't want to get married, do they?
Well, he's already been married once.
What does he want to do it again for?
Especially Catherine. With her.
It's a bloody waste of money, isn't it? So Catherine's not happy at all. And she's quite conniving at this point. Rather than going for the old...
Jugular.
You know, fucking pan on the head.
Iron in face.
Iron, scissors, whatever you...
Burning claws.
She thinks, right, I'll get you back, you bastard. And she gets the video camera, and John had brought home some out-of-date medical kits from work.
Oh.
You know, like...
You were thinking, oh, I'm going to need them.
Yeah.
If rumours are true.
Yeah, no.
You know, like, blokes just have stuff in garages.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, he'd seen it on the tip at work, and he thought, oh, it's only going in at 2 hours. Yeah. I'll just take
go
it
to,
home.
Go to
stick it in the garage, you know. Yeah. Might need a bandage one day.
Once she twats me over the head.
Well, Catherine, video films.
How did she manage this? Is she like just loitering the bushes or something?
Well, she films the medical kits in his garage, then gets the videotape and sends it to his boss.
Oh my.
So his boss watches the video and fires him.
Why would you even do that? Because it's like,
that is just the definition of conniving, isn't it?
She's lost.
Well, that's an evil bitch.
He's lost his livelihood, which is her livelihood.
Yeah.
Because he's bringing money in.
Just to get back at
him. She shut herself in front.
And poor John had worked at that mine for 17 years. And all his mates said he loved his job. Said he'd be first there in the morning. Said he'd be out all night boozing it up in pub. But don't matter how shit-faced he got. He always got in.
You're a real grafter.
Proper grafter.
All right, grafter.
So, John gets back from work, just got sacked, fucking seriously pissed off, as you can imagine, and kicks her out. Bang, get the fuck out. Kicks her out.
Get out, you fuck.
But, Catherine, she's very sorry.
Resilient.
Well, you have to remember, she's still got her own house.
We've
down
heard
the street.
This before, haven't we?
She's very sorry.
She's just very sorry, Ryan.
She's very sorry. That must be true then.
She must be okay.
She's very sorry.
She's very sorry. She's begging John, can we get back?
Please, John.
Can we do something, John? Can we patch the wounds
of this relationship? I'm going to first aid kit, Gary.
Well, John says, all right, we can start again.
Numpty.
You're not moving in with me, though.
I was reading about this. There were only two pubs in the village.
Yeah.
There was a top pub.
Yeah.
And the bottom pub.
Yeah, top pub and bottom pub. That's what they were called.
So this, again, like, says a lot about Catherine, I think, because, like, apparently his mates had heard all the shit that were going on. Like, oh, she's a bit violent and what have you.
His mates were not happy, were they?
And then they're obviously hearing all the stuff in the pub about, oh, I've lost my job because of her.
Yeah.
Next thing, he fucking goes back to her and his mates aren't having it. They just disown him and they're like...
Yeah.
So he's lost his mates.
Send him to top pub or bottom pub, whichever one he's supping in. He's got to go to the other one.
He has to go to the bottom pub.
Yeah.
She must be one hell of a sex machine.
Yeah.
She must be. To get him back after that. She must do something that really gets him off.
I know, she's got a hold over these men, but we've never really uncovered why. She's either an animal in bedroom or she's got gives a cracking blowy. We just don't know, do we?
It goes from bad to worse from here on in, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah, because it's all sunshine and roses at the minute.
So John's lost all his mates now, and his relationship with Catherine is becoming more and more fractious, fighting all the time, falling out.
I think this is a big mistake on John's part. I mean, I just feel like he's jumping from the frying pan into the fire.
Jumping from the frying pan into the iron.
He just needs to cut his losses.
So we're now moving into the year 2000.
We're going back to the year 2000. Not much has changed, but we live underwater.
Stop singing that. It's terribly.
They're getting back together.
It's terribly.
Hey, yeah, you kids are next year. Yeah, sure. Next year, busted. Yeah,
even with Charlie.
And Charlie's
and his
in
his eyebrows.
He must be
coming as well.
He must be skinned.
Who's he bringing eyebrows?
He's bringing his eyebrows.
Stick on joke ones.
I thought you were in that band. What were the name of his new band? Fight Star. Oh, that right. Yeah, they were shit. Shit, Charlie, shit.
We know you listen.
So, we're now in the year 2000. And, you know, the assaults have been getting worse and worse. And it sort of comes to a head where John comes home one night. She's at it again. Bang, stabs him in the chest.
What?
Yeah. He's not very happy.
I'm not fucking surprised.
He kicks her out.
Get out of it!
Get out. He's had enough this time. So the day after, he on his way home from work, he stops at the courthouse, gets a bloody injunction to keep her away from him and his kids.
Because she fucking stabbed him in the chest.
He's Looney Tune now. He also...
No.
He also calls in for a chat with some of his friends. And he says, listen, boys, he says, it's getting bad, this. He said, if you don't see me at work tomorrow, I'll probably be dead.
What? So he's got a very, you know, he's got an inkling that things are, you know, she's getting worse and worse and worse, yet he's still going home and going back.
Well, his thingy, he's not going back to her, he's just brought an injunction out against her, if you were listening.
But she keeps turning up, though, and he keeps letting her in.
It's for all the sex.
It's difficult when you're in a relationship.
Is it?
There's emotion involved. It's all right for us.
There's kiddies in the equation.
Oh, yeah. For us, on the outside looking in, we don't feel the emotion. We don't see the good side of it.
Love gets in the way of the frying pans, the scissors and the knife.
After he's unlodged this 6-inch knife out of his chest.
Well, his co-worker says to him, look, John, don't go home. It's bloody madness. If you do that... You stay over here, stay over. And he's like, no, I'm going home. Well, in the meantime, Catherine's been at home and she's putting a plan into action. She sends the kids away for a sleepover at a friend's house.
Plats.
Slumbers.
Slumbers, yeah. Sent her with a multi-bag of Maltesers.
Yeah.
He gets his grapes.
Barbie dolls.
Because you think, I think John himself is trying to put a plan in to get away from her. But
she knows this.
She knows this as well. And well, this is why.
I'll be damned if he's going to leave. Not another one's going to leave me.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets home and then he says, oh, hiya to Catherine. And, you know,
hey, Catherine.
There's like a, you know, there's a
paper
thin sort of piece. You know,
I've been up to
L together.
Pinned out, bitch.
Pinned out your courthouse. And he says, I'm just going over to neighbours for a couple
just
of
beers. Just going over to neighbours for a couple of beers.
Beers.
Why does he sound like this? It's because he's been stabbed.
Yeah.
Get us a beer, will you? I'm fucked.
What I should have also mentioned is earlier in the day,
you don't believe me,
Catherine had been out at Sexy Knicker Shop.
Oh my!
Victoria's Secret. What is it? Does anybody know?
Well, I was thinking more like Anne Summers.
Anne Summers.
Anyway, she's got herself some sexy knickers.
Thong.
Crotchless.
So, John comes back. A few beers.
I bet that wouldn't be. Crops the Snickers with big ginger bush hanging out.
About 11 o'clock, lets himself in.
Goes to bed. The Australian bush.
Bloody knackered he is. Knackered. Goes to bed. About an hour later, Catherine slips in, herself in with
Key. Thong on.
Slips into his bed.
There we go.
Wakes him up. Sexy time.
This is what I mean. He's straight on it though, isn't he? He's got an injunction on her. She slips in with bloody
sexy negligee on. It's obviously
slips in with edible undies, and that's it. He's at it again.
I know. She's obviously a
she
a
must
bit of
have the tightest punani in Western Australia.
Maybe she does a lot of
must be like bloody silk.
She might do a lot of pelvic floor exercises. Yeah, she's had four kids. I mean, it's got to be like a bloody wheelie bin by now.
Rattling a stick in a bin.
Exactly.
No, that must be some
maybe
sweet ass.
Anyway, they have sex. John falls asleep. And it's now when Catherine exacts her revenge on John.
Shows her true colours.
She starts to attack him.
Pulls away before he's come.
Oh.
No. She satisfies her man. She's not a sexual tease. She's just a bloodthirsty murderer. So she attacks him in the bedroom with one of her knife and she starts to stab him.
What?
And not only does she start to stab him, she viciously attacks this man. He manages to fight her off and he starts to make his way down the hall in the house, out of the bedroom, down the hall. It's a one single story house.
All the time she's fucking
stabbing him, stabbing him in the side, stabbing him in the back. There's blood splatters up the walls. There's blood on the light switch where he's tried to turn it on to find his way. Seemingly, from the police investigation, he gets all the way down the hall and opens the front door before...
Do you know what I thought?
He can't take anymore.
Because they'd just done it, haven't they?
Yeah.
I wondered all the time that he's staggering around whether he still had an half lob on.
Like the lob on flopping about.
I think with all the blood loss, it'd probably limped up.
Imagine that, you've been stabbed 37 times and then you stub your hard on the door. You'd be gutted, wouldn't you?
Hinders his exit.
Oh, the hell, stab me again.
I'd have made it out the door if it weren't for that lob on. Yeah, but poor John.
Maybe that's how she stopped him. Yeah. We're just going to get out of his locker.
Grabbed his cock. Clicked his balls.
Slammed door and trapped his cock in.
God, he would be talking like that then, would he?
Yeah. So it's the bitter end. And after a frantic attack,
this is a good bit now.
Oriole says,
well, not the good bit, but
stabbed 37 times.
This is what the tale is really known for.
Well, this is what makes the crime so
iconic.
It's
indelible.
Unique, yeah.
You know, in your mind. She gets her knives.
All of them. All 28
She gets
of them.
A knife kit out, and then
I can just imagine her rolling it out on the table.
I know. Once.
Which one?
Yeah. Well, she skins him, and it was reported that she skins him with such skill and precision that afterwards, at the autopsy, they were able to put his skin back on.
Huh.
She had done such a neat job. So, like, at least when it came to sort of, you know, piecing him back together after the horrific crime, you know, they could do that, but. I mean, it just shows what a psychotic
how
tendency
old is she
she's
at
got.
This point, sorry.
She is 48, 49, yeah, late 40s.
Just skinned him.
She totally skins him.
What the fuck?
She then hangs his skin on a meat-up that she's put over the door frame. So when the police come to the scene of the crime, they see this whole human skin hanging on the door frame.
Just a meat-up shed in her handbag casually.
Yeah, as you do when you're a butcher person.
I suppose it beats bloody maypole, doesn't it? Maypole drapes that keep flies out.
Oh. Blah.
Things go from bad to worse as she then decapitates the corpse, takes the head.
I tell you what, it takes some fucking... like strength to get a
strong stomach as well.
Hack her head off. Yeah, well, she's used to it though, isn't she? Yeah. Awful.
Chops his head off, puts it in a stock pot on the stove, starts it simmering.
Cooks it?
Simmering it away with some onions and carrots.
Do you know what I read? That one of the policemen that first entered the scene said, it might sound a bit macabre, but when I first entered the house, there's like a nice...
Smelled good?
Yeah, it smelled like your
mum. Smelled like my mum were doing a roast.
Yeah, mum had stew on.
Yeah, exactly.
Little did he know.
Yeah, it was poor job.
The carnage they'd find in the living room.
She then butchers his butt cheek.
Okay.
She cuts it into five...
she cuts it, she doesn't just like stab it?
No, not butcher as in stab, like butcher as in... Takes the butt cheek off, cuts it into five steaks, which she then bakes in the oven. She then...
Sounds all right, this.
She cooks up some vegetables and plates up two meals.
Gravy. Oh, I've got a list of the meal as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, like, after decapitating him, she cooked...
She cooked bum cheek off in
so
the oven.
So, roasted fillet of bum ass cheek. And then she's serving this with baked potato, pumpkin, zucchini or courgette to me and you, cabbage, yellow squash and gravy in two settings. Ooh. At the dinner table.
And in tonight's kitchen, we've got a lovely side dish of courgette, baked potato.
Zucchini. Gravy.
And a lovely side of bum cheek.
She then feeds some of it to the dog.
Oh, better than bedding rich,
and she puts a note on the body for the police to find. The note reads, in terrible handwriting and misspelling, not that she was getting marked on this, but the note read...
Couple with red marker.
Time got you back, Jonathan, for raping my daughter. You to Beck for Ross, Little John. Now you play with Little John's dick, John Price.
Oh.
It's a bit nonsensical, but basically the accusations were groundless.
Yeah.
None of the children ever reported any sexual abuse from John Price.
It's just all what
it was just all what was in her mind.
You know the things she cooked up in the kitchen, from what I read as well, she had little notes next to like plates as if she was going to serve up this dish or this feast to his children.
Yeah, she had. She'd made notes saying your dinner's here ready for when you get home.
So that they would have eaten
it. They would have eaten it.
Yeah, but you think they'd have ran off after they'd seen the skin hanging from the door.
I know, yeah,
well, yeah, they would have done, but she was obviously like in a zone where nothing was making much sense. She then takes an overdose and goes in the bedroom, lies on the bed, and thinks she's going to die.
Well, I heard this because the police come in, didn't they? After the, because he'd said to his colleagues that if they don't turn up, tell the police.
Well, yeah, this is what raises the alarm.
And the police turn up.
So,
knock, knock.
John's neighbour, he finds it a bit strange that, you know, the ute's still in the drive and the curtains are still shut, and then he doesn't turn in for work. So they raise the alarm with the police, and then the police, I mean, they just describe it as being the most horrific murder scene that they've ever encountered, and you can imagine it, can't you? Like a whole human skin.
I've read a thing that the police, when they entered, obviously, and saw this horrible scene, like you said, and there's the blood. They initially came in, and there was the skin hanging from the door.
Yeah.
And this one policeman thought it was a drape, like a curtain, over the kitchen door.
Oh, God.
And he put his hand on it and pulled it back, and he said it felt like cold. He's like, what the hell's that? And then he looked and his hand was covered in blood. And he thought he'd actually cut himself trying to break into the house. And then it was only like then that they, as they went through,
they
saw what was left of the corpse and it was the skin.
Yeah.
The head missing. They could see trails of blood going to the pot that was still in the stove.
Yeah.
But then they was like, is anybody else in the house? And they were situated. And then all of a sudden, they just heard this loud snoring coming from, which is embarrassing for her, isn't it?
It is, but no woman likes to be thought of as a snorer.
No, nobody wants to be seen as a snorer.
No.
So that's a bit unfortunate, really, that's come out in...
Yeah, he's in the public domain. Yeah.
Was she laying next to the body? Because she reportedly, like, arranged the body so it had, like, his legs crossed and he had his arms across... Like, he had a big bottle of pop next to him.
Yeah,
take that with you, love, if you get thirsty.
Well, no, she was asleep on the bed, but they said that they'd sort of... It said that she paused him in sort of, like... campish pose as like an
like
act of mocking him.
He was a soft cock.
You know, like he's a soft cock.
Soft ass.
But yeah, she took an overdose hoping to end it for herself as well, which is, you know, she probably just thought,
I don't want to face
the consequence of this. But she is revived at the hospital and she's taken into custody. So she goes to trial. Now,
to the trial!
There's some strong evidence to suggest that she committed this crime. How did she plead?
Guilty!
Not guilty, Your Honour. He made me do it. Because he was a wife beater and I snapped.
Cut my head off, you bitch!
Well, they had to go to trial then, didn't they? Because, you know, she's pled not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's got to have a fair hearing. So the trial commenced. The jury are selected for having strong stomachs because of the excessive nature of the photography of the crime scene.
They picked a lot of people with strong stomachs.
Yeah, not six packs.
Not, requirements.
Not a literally a strong stomach.
Away we go.
Some people who are not...
Like a bloody washboard.
Not soft and
Hardy people.
People who can take seeing such gruesome images. Some people, it would affect them, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Some people less so. Some people are more adept to coping with these kind of images of graphic mutilation. So no, not because they had six packs. But then, just as they're about to start the trial, for some reason that no one knows, Knight changes a plea to guilty. She says, yeah, actually, I did it, but I was fucking bonkers.
Oh, insanity.
So she's going for the insanity plea.
Insanity.
Now,
Larry Shoy.
The judge on this case, Barry O'Keefe.
Oh, yeah, Bazza.
He is very sceptical at this because he thinks what she's going to do, she's going to plead guilty and then she's going to go for a retrial. Or not a retrial. She's going to try and get a sentence commuted down from murder to manslaughter because she'll say
probably
in the future,
12 months later.
She'll say
community
well,
service.
when I pleaded guilty, I wasn't sane.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was doing. You know. And so I
he's
think
one step ahead, is he?
Well, she's a bloody conniver, isn't she? You can't forget that.
She's clever.
She's a clever and she's a planner and she thinks ahead.
But she can't spell.
No, but just because you're not able to write doesn't
she's
mean
cunning.
You're not cunning. And so he gets her assessed by two independent psychiatrists. And they both come back and say that she's sane.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows exactly what she's doing.
Which makes it even more sinister.
So then Barry, he says, right then, Sheila, I'll accept your plea of guilty. And you will never be released. Ever again, no parole, big stamp in
big
red.
Big stamp, boom!
Big red letters, like Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Boom! Rejected.
You're going down.
You're going down. You're going down to Chinatown.
Yeah, so she's still there. Still there, I think.
Still incarcerated.
She's still in there.
Yeah, I don't think she's dead or out.
I also heard that, I think, before they employed... Before they employed the jury in Over the Strong Stomachs, there was a jury that they originally had couldn't face to carry on.
Is that why they went for the strong stomachs?
Yeah, because the people couldn't cope with looking at these images.
Imagine,
all
like,
such detail.
Victorian women with fans fainting at the very sight of this evilness.
It was very bad.
There's fucking nails round there.
So she's still laughing, really, because I think the thing you find with these psychopaths is because they don't really give a shit about where they are or what they do. Like, when they get a life sentence in prison, they're not really bothered, are they? You know,
they
can quite happily live.
I bet she's like, ruling the roost. I bet she'll have some rep, won't she? Like,
oh, yeah.
Some Lock H.
She'll be like King Bee, or Queen Bee, I should say. Not King Bee.
Yeah.
She's not got a cock. And it's always a queen bee. Never mind. I'm an idiot. So there you have it. That's the story
that's
of
Catherine Knight.
Mary Knight.
Ooh.
A horrible, horrible person.
Well,
but with some great comedy frying pan action.
She loves one of them novelty frying pans and irons, doesn't she?
The inventor of slapstick.
Good news to report. We are now over the 300 limit for likes.
Ooh.
Which has meant I'm sleeping much better.
Good, good.
So keep sharing us, keep telling all your friends.
Keep tweeting us, retweet us, tell your mates, send us an email.
Tell your friends.
What's our email address?
Don't tell people who are likely to complain.
No, we don't like them. ThePennyMortos@gmail.com.
Do you ever check the email, Chris?
No. But anyway,
send us nice things.
Yeah, send us. No, I do every now and again.
Oh, we've had a.
Send us fan mail.
Still no sex toys.
We've had an episode request for the craze.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we would look to do. Definitely
quite an interesting topic to cover. Yes, we're still no secondhand sex toys.
No.
Yeah, we're still waiting for them. So you know, if you've got them, send them our way.
Yeah. I think that's us then for this week.
Is it? Yeah, I'm going for a stabby. In the top pub.
I thought you was talking about your widgie.
I did. Good night, mate. Good night.
Oh, it's been lovely. It's been jubbly. It's been fabbly dabbly. They all say, we've been the Penny Mortos and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be rising for the Penny Mortos.
Joseph.